Would you like to have your Bibles open at the book of Ecclesiastes? And I'm reading from the 11th chapter and the 7th verse. I'm going to read it in the NIV, and then I'm going to read it also in this New Living Translation also. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigour are meaningless. And here it is in the New Living Translation. Light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. But let them also remember that there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy, but remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. Well, over the last weeks, we have considered Koheleth's teaching in this 11th chapter, and he has been at pains to show us that from God's perspective, this is not the life under the sun. The meaningless life under the sun has no place for God. But Koheleth has been at pains to show us that from God's perspective, that what he would like for us is a life of faith. And a life of faith led on to a life of joy. And that's what I was speaking about last week. That life is meant to be a life of joy for mankind in what Koheleth calls a meaningless existence, a life under the sun where there is no God. He then shows another way, that there is a life of faith. Cast your bread upon the waters, or put your grain on that ship and send it out. A life of faith that then leads always to a life of joy. And we saw last week how that life of joy is to be lifelong. And if you look at the text, you can see it for yourself, verse 8. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. However many years a person may live, let them enjoy them all. And surely it should be easy for us to grasp this morning that when God made our first parents, Adam and Eve, they are our first parents, he placed them in a paradise. That's not surprising to me. It's a paradise, a place of enjoyment, a place where life, every new day of life, is sweet. It's true, isn't it, that for every one of us, what does it say in the 7th verse? Light is sweet. What is it sweet like? Well, what does sweetness speak of? Sweetness, what does it speak of? Well, for the ancients it spoke of honey, of course it did. To have the sweetness of life was like tasting honey. I don't know how well a sweet shop would do if all it was trading in was in bitterness. I doubt it would do very well at all. It is the fact that it trades in sweet that we are drawn to it. And of course the ancients were, and so are we today. Our lives respond to that new day of life. Light is sweet. It's like the senses, the feelings, our minds being treated to that which is sweet. And of course we respond to it. Just think about what happens to people. I don't particularly have it, but I know that some people do. The dark days. The clocks go back. The dark days come, and people go to work in the dark, and they come home in the dark. They go to school in the dark. They come home in the dark. And they are affected by it. There is no doubt about it. Just watch how they change when the light comes up in the morning at 6 o'clock and goes to bed at 9 o'clock in the evening. Watch how people change. Light is sweet. He means a new day of life, a new day of life. That's how the New English Translation in effect puts it. A new day of life with God is sweet. So if life is given by God, given to be a life of faith, it will be then a life of enjoyment. And it should be savoured with enthusiasm. And I said last week, I repeat it, it almost comes out in this passage like a command, that God commands enjoyment. This idea that the church, that Christians, should not have enjoyment. Where on earth did that ever come from? Who foisted that upon our minds? Who foisted it upon the church? In the garden? What did he say to Adam and Eve? You may eat of all the trees. It was a paradise. It was for eternal enjoyment. And the passage that we didn't read from Revelation was in 22. And the heading in the NIV is Eden Restored. Of course it is. Because there will be, if you like, a paradise forevermore without any sin in that world which God is going to remake. But we can see in the passage that Koheleth is a realist. And so although he says enjoy every day, fill it up with enjoyment as it were, he's a realist and he says that darkness is coming. Of course he means death. And death is a fixed given. It can't be changed. And the idea is that the darkness, the truth of death, which no one wants to talk about, but which is very real, that is meant to inform this idea of the sweetness of life. Let life be enjoyable because darkness extinguishes the light. And what does Koheleth say? He says, let them enjoy them all, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. You've only got a few days of light. There are only a few days of light, friends. Enjoy life. Of course, enjoy life. That is what God wants. He knows that the days of darkness are coming, and they are many. We've been thinking in the last year, haven't we, about the life of Martin Luther, who lived for barely over, 50 odd years. And he's been dead for 500. The days of darkness are many. So be informed this morning. Be informed by the truth of the Word of God. And let it arrest our minds. Not just pass over us. So we go out the way that we came in. So now, here is the passage, particularly for the young people. And here it is in the 9th verse. You who are young, be happy. Now at this point I had thought of asking all the young people, all those who are young, I'd ask you all to stand up, but I thought that would never work. It would never work. It would backfire on me, I know it would, because there would be a whole group of people with wishful thinking. So we'll leave it. But I can see the young people, and almost this morning, perhaps like no other morning, you can look at me. You don't have to be embarrassed to look at me or for me to look at you, to look you in the eye. It's a fine thing for the young people to be able to be here in church and look at the preacher. I'll look at you as I preach. I know who you are. I know the people who are not young. Don't you worry. I know the people who are not young anymore, and I know who are the young people. It's wonderful to be young, says the Net Bible. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Hey, young people, listen to this. God addresses young people. God speaks to young people. Here is his word, the Bible, speaking to young people. Young in years. Now, it's important for me to establish this first thing. It's really important, and important that you all grasp it. God is speaking to those who are young in years, not whether you feel young. It's true that those who are older often feel, in many ways, they feel just like they did when they were in their teens. But actually they're not. The fact is that God is speaking here to those who are young in years. And the Apostle Paul, he seems to identify this question of his own youthfulness, because he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. He had a child's thoughts. And that led to a child's ways. Now, this is important to establish this. A child has childlike ways. Paul says, when I was a man, I thought like a man. And because he thought like a man, he behaved like a man. So there is a period of youthfulness. There is a definite period of childhood. A girl in her youth has a few years, and then she's a woman. A boy has a few years, and then he's a man. And if all the young people cared to do this, if they were interested to do it, you talk to all the older people in this room, and they'll tell you, all of them, I remember when I was a girl, and it was gone, just like that. And when I was a boy, and then I was a man, and it was gone, just like that. Remember your Creator, chapter 12, verse 1, says, in the days of your youth. It's days. It can be numbered as days. Remember your Creator in the days. Here you are, young people, with your days. They are uniquely your days as young people. Now, don't ask me exactly when it ends, that youthfulness, or when it starts. I think the call to young people is like this. It's from that particular age when you can reason with someone and you can say to them, be happy. So to those of you who I can reason with this morning, you're of an age where I can reason with you and I can say to you, be happy. You are, as it were, a young person. When does that end? I don't know when that ends. It's less than 100 years ago, don't you know, that we coined the word teenager. Our concept, our understanding of what we grasp of what it is to be young is always changing. So I think the boundary lines probably change throughout every generation of what a person was to be young in one generation probably isn't the case necessarily today. So that if you went back to 1914 and you took a young chap who was, how old are you, Harry?
16.
Well, there were 16-year-old young chaps, boys, who went to the trenches. They went as boys, and in no time at all, they were men. Their status was altered. Listen to me. Remember that your Creator in the days, they only had a few days. How few were their days to be young? Very short. I've mentioned before my great aunt, my mum's aunt, my auntie Ethel. She left Barnsley when she was 13 and went and took up a job at the Great Salts Mill. Now, when she got on that bus at 13 and got off it in salt air and went to work in that mill, and she stayed there all of her life, I presume, 13. So she's 13. For us, she's just a child. But in no time at all, I presume that her youthfulness was left behind and she became a woman as she entered into an adult world. So all I'm saying to you is that the days that you have now are unique to you, perhaps, in your generation. Perhaps today, I have something to say about this, perhaps today, childhood, youthfulness, lasts much longer than it did in previous generations. And I know that someone in America has written a book very concerned about the state of the church. And his question is this: where have all the men gone? His argument is that the young men are remaining almost like children, even into what we would normally term adulthood. So this is a little bit blurred, this picture about youthfulness, about age. Where it begins, I think it begins when we can actually, as it were, rationally say to someone, be happy. So to the young people, if you understand that, I'm saying to you this morning, be happy. When that ends, I don't know. But as far as Koheleth says, it's days. So think about it. Think very carefully. Remember your Creator in the days. And go, all the young people, you look at me, go to the adults and ask them what their story is, of how they saw their youthfulness, their childhood. Just gone. Almost, as it were, in a puff of smoke. Koheleth says, be happy. Be happy while you are young. Enjoy every minute of it. And this helps us to see what he's driving at. Every single minute. This week, I drove past my old school. I just happened to be driving past about 3:15, 3:20. And all the children were leaving Humforth High School, which Humforth Secondary Modern is where I went to school from 11 to 17. And as I drove past, I watched all the children. But I couldn't help it. And as I looked at them, I could see myself. But it was 50 years ago. But it just seems like a moment that I was one of those children walking out of Humforth High School. Enjoy every minute. I like how the NET Bible puts it. Enjoy every minute. Koheleth seems, as I say to you all, it's like a command. Youthfulness is to be enjoyed. If young people are enjoying life, I'm saying now this to all the adults, because adults easily get tired of young people. They forget, of course, that they were once young. See how far away it was. I'm saying to the adults now, let the young people enjoy life. Let them enjoy life. They have God's blessing upon them. Of course they do, because God, as it were, has commanded that they should enjoy life. In other words, this is what God wants. So now, I want to speak to the adults about the children, about the young people. This isn't a time for the young people to turn off. It's for you equally to listen. But it's particularly for the adults to think about what I'm now going to say. It is surely part of the work of adults to see to it that children, that young people enjoy life, since they're in our care. So what a challenge to every parent, to every adult, to see to it that children, that young people enjoy life. I'm saying this because it seems to me that it is absolutely crystal clear that many adults are robbing children of their joy. Now, I'm not saying it's the job of adults to give to children exactly what they want when they want it, because that would be ruinous. Of course, I'm not saying that. But there is more and more evidence to show that children, that young people, are quickly trying to ascend the ladder into the adult world to be adults before they've even hardly begun to be children. Enjoy every minute of being a child, of being a young person. Adults, I'm saying to you, think carefully now about the things that you do, that you say, that you offer, that draw children away from their childhood, making them to be adults before their time. Let the young be young. Let them be young. Let them enjoy every minute of being young. That's the point. Every minute is how the Bible puts it. Every minute, let them enjoy it. Let them have their childhood, is what I'm saying to the adults. Let them be young because it's only for a fleeting moment, and don't rob them of it. I repeat that God is intrinsically interested from this passage in the lives of the young. Interested to aid their enjoyment of life. Now, if God is that interested to aid their enjoyment of life, what bounden responsibilities that lay upon each and every one who is an adult with regard to the enjoyment of the lives of young people. Will you look at the text? It's joy, but it's joy in the heart. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth, verse 9. Let your heart give you joy. So the enjoyment of life that children show that often seems to be so stressful to adults is what, in fact, we must want to see. I don't want to see children adopting adult behaviour and being made into adults before their time. Allow them to be children. This is my word to every adult. Don't take 1 minute from them. Let them enjoy every minute. Because by introducing adult themes to children and adult manners to children particularly, which would spoil them and corrupt them, these are the things that will rob them of the minutes of the joys of childhood, of the joys of their youthfulness. Now, it is to my great interest that this week there has been a report by the NSPCC and by Professor Tanya Byron, who was child psychologist called up by Gordon Brown 10 years ago. Governments called her up and asked her to do some serious work on the growing harmful influences of social media websites. She said the government had failed to properly implement about half of the child safety online recommendations which she'd made 10 years ago. So ministers commissioned this 10 years ago and virtually only did half of what they were told to do. How sad when adults easily trust themselves to governments of all flavours. Despite all the pledges to make the UK the safest place in the world for children to go online, they didn't do it. And furthermore, it was said, listen to this, she said it is impossible to fathom how much harm has been done over those years in terms of online sexual abuse, hate speech, violent and harmful content, cyberbullying and the rest. And according to the Ofcom figures, 83% of 12 to 15-year-olds have a smartphone, and half of all children have a social media profile by the age of 12. Remembering, she says, that just a decade ago, there was no Snapchat, WhatsApp, or Instagram. These did not exist. And the projection is, what will be in the next 10 years? That, friends, is anyone's guess. When she'd finished speaking, Dr. Tanya Byron said this. Just in this last year, 2 girls have been murdered because of social media's link between the abuser and the abused. And it goes on. And you must all know that depression amongst the young is at an all-time high. The NHS services to deal with psychosis and the rest and the effects are overwhelmed. Surely adults know, they must know the precious minutes of childhood, of being young. And it seems to me that so easily the Christian church is just simply dragged along without a second thought to what it is doing with regard to their children. What's extraordinary to me, I find it baffling to say the least, is that while all this is going on, and all of this harm and potential harm is being done to children, we've got parents who are paranoid to let their children go skiing or go rock climbing or go adventuring, as if this might be dangerous for them and this might be harmful to their lives. I always remember the wise words of some old Christians in London. They said this to me: don't forget, Andrew, that your children are on loan to you. The Lord loans them to you. Walk hand in hand with him by faith and trust him. And go forward with your children and you'll have the happiest of life together. And so it can be. I'm saying to all of you that God knows best, and he says preserve every minute that you can preserve for the good and the happiness and the joy and the well-being of children. What are we going to do? What are the adults going to do to furnish this, to make it possible? When are we going to open our eyes to those things that perhaps we ought to well be engaged in for the happiness and the joy of young people? And at the same time, we ought to be extremely cautious about the way in which our world is developing and what might be being done to the minds and the lives of young people, which can never, ever, ever be put straight again psychologically. Come on, let the church, let the Lord's people think about the times in which we live, and let us work tirelessly as much as we can by the grace of God for the happiness and the joy for every minute of every young person. Now, if you look at the text, you'll read it there. It says, you who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. So we thought about that, the days. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see. Now, that's something, isn't it? Follow the ways of your heart. You've heard it said so many times. It was said to me when I was a young man. Follow your heart, Andrew. And I've often said that to other people. Follow your heart. I believe in it. I really do. I believe in following your heart. It can often lead to difficulties and troubles, and I'll say why in a moment. But follow your heart and whatever your eyes see. Now, of course, in isolation, you could understand that this could mean that you'd be saying to the young people, you can do whatever you want to do. Just go ahead and do whatever you like. Well, what does the text say? You take it, but if you took it in isolation, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. Going back to the thing about the social networking system, I'm intrigued as to how many parents are quite simply happy for their children to be a part of that system. If I said they could have a can of lager every morning or a can of cider, would that be all right? Would you be happy with that? And if you say no, I ask, well, why not? Because it would be harmful to them. It seems that we are unable to see certain things which are very, very harmful to us. And yet other things we can see instantly. For them to have a cigarette first thing in the morning, would that be all right? No. These are things that we understand very, very quickly, easily, that these things may be harmful. And yet there are other things that they're taboo to us. We daren't go near them. They're holy cows, so to speak. We daren't touch them. And I want to say this morning, for the sake of all of the young people, when it says do whatever your heart tells you, as it were, that would make you happy, that does not mean to say that you might just not just do anything that you like? Can you start having sex with your boyfriend or your girlfriend? No. Because you'll become unhappy. You'll become unhappy. Listen to me. I want your days to be happy. Follow the ways of your heart. You're going to come to me afterwards, perhaps, and say, it says follow your ways, the ways of your heart. Let me tell you what else the Bible says. That the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? I wouldn't trust your heart, friend, in this regard. God wants your best, and sex before marriage will hurt you. It's going to be an issue for countless young people. Don't you know it? Of course you do. Because outside of committed love, outside of love which has to do with faith, outside of marriage, these things will be hurtful and harmful to the young people. And I want to take this moment to say to you, as you grow older and you move out of being youthful, out of childhood, into adulthood, then it's possible and good to enter into sexual relationships in marriage where it is meaningful, where there is lasting love, and where love can really grow and where it can blossom. Can you enter into the joy of a loving relationship? Sure you can. Wait for it. But it needs to be based upon love and not upon lust. I'm speaking words of wisdom for you, for your own good. For your days are few in your youthfulness, in your young life. Lust, young people, can never bring joy and happiness. Because love alone can do that and supply it for us all of our days. If you were to stop reading at a certain point, which is what some people do when they read the Bible, they take the bit that they like, and the other part they just jettison it off and throw it away. But you'll notice what it says. I don't say it, but the text does say it. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So that's the caveat. You need to know. You need to be in the know that for all these things that your eyes saw, that your beating heart wanted, that if it led to a life which was not acceptable to God, it will bring you into judgment. It is almost like this, I agree. Those who have said, this text is like a sword of Damocles hanging over everyone. Go with what your heart sees and what your eyes see, but know this also, that the things that your heart tells you that you must have to get your pleasures, know this, that God will bring to you into judgment. In other words, your actions won't be forgotten. Your actions are not going to be forgotten. They are recorded forever by a God who knows all things. Live joyfully. Live every minute. But remember, you must give an account to God. Do you know, young people, just quickly to tell you, do you know why many of the older people around you don't want to know about the things about God? Is because the thing that they hate most of all is that they have to give an account. They don't want to be accountable to anyone except themselves. In other words, they want to be a law unto themselves. So you remember this morning, young people, that you must one day give an account to God. And here it is. I'm just going to tell you. On that day, whether we are willing or unwilling, we will have to stand before God's great throne of judgment. You don't think that God sits on a throne, just to help you all. The book of Revelation is using figurative language. God doesn't sit on a throne. He is eternal. He is greater than the universe. He doesn't sit on a throne. But it pictures a white throne because of his purity. So you look at your minutes of your days of your life and you think about the purity of God. Think about it this morning for yourselves. That one day that great white throne of judgment must come and there will be no shelter for anyone. There will be no escape, there will be no mercy, only an entry into eternal woes. That is what is to come. And so it's right that I should warn the young people about their lives for the future. And if it's any help to you, come on, you can look at me, all of you. If it's any help to you, this is someone who knows, because he was once a young man who was living a ruinous life. So he knows. I know all these things because I have been there and done them. I know the dreadful ruin that first-hand experience of sin can bring to our lives. And it was that consciousness of coming to that day of judgment before God where I would have to give an account for my life. Let your heart, young person, let your heart seek the good joys which God would be able to rubber stamp and say these are good things. Let your heart seek after those things and let each and every one of you enjoy every minute of every day of your life. Our choices will determine our eternity. And as I pointed out a few weeks ago, the dreadful car crash in Huddersfield, the young girl from Shelley High School, she set out that day with, presumably with just high ordinary expectations, and her life was ended in a moment. So the 12th chapter and the first verse, you can look at it. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You've only got so many days, and God has the number of them. He knows all about them. So remember him while you are young, before the days come. Because there are some older people perhaps here, and they can't even be bothered to think about God. Not from one day to the next. Youthfulness. What possibilities come to us in our youth? And so now I can say to you, of course I can, come to God and come to him by faith. That's where the 11th chapter started. Come to him and let him give you a new heart and a new spirit. Because you see, if my old heart and my old spirit had have continued the way it was going in my youthfulness, it would have brought me down. It would have completely destroyed me. But then here comes the gospel. The glorious gospel of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes and he gives a new heart. Ah, that's what we need. He gives a new spirit so that there can be a new life. And then you just watch, young person. You watch life that becomes really life start to take hold of your life. And that is essentially what you need to do. Enjoy every minute of your life. If it were my wish, it would be today that each and every one of you would join to your lives that faith which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what a young life and a middle life and an older life you would enjoy. I'm preaching like this morning because in my heart, at heart, I love young people. I always have done. And I do today, the young people who are here in this church. I don't want any of their lives to be blighted and to be ruined by first-hand sin. I want them to be saved from it. I want them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them to be saved by the grace of God, to be given a new birth, a new life. But it's for you today to take hold of the message that has been preached. Take hold of it with seriousness, with urgency. Enjoy every minute. Whatever it is that gives you enjoyment, you enjoy it. I know, because I know some of you, I know the things that give you enjoyment. Enjoy the premiership, George, while you can. Might not be around for much longer, mate. I hope it is. Enjoy it. Whatever it is that gives you enjoyment, you enjoy it. But the greatest enjoyment of life is found when joined to our life is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then life really becomes life. May God bless the young people and the children of this church, and may He keep them in His loving arms, and then alone by His grace and by His favour save them. God speak to us, young and old, this morning through the Word of God. Amen. Amen.